Oh, hi, Kristen Hanke.
Oh, hi, Natalie Roy.
Yeah, so good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
I know. Your hair looks amazing. You have these cool bangs happening.
Thank you. Someone asked me the other day who cuts my hair, and I thought to myself, well, I did my last haircut.
It's true. I've seen you take out the shears and give yourself a little do from time to time.
As soon as it starts looking not 70s enough,
that's
I get
right.
out the shears.
That's right. Have you ever seen, this reminds me of you, have you ever seen like at Christmas time, they have different kinds of scissors that can cut like almost like on a design, and you can
yes.
cut the paper like kind of as a design.
Yep.
That feels like something you need for your hair. It's like so that you can cut like different shapes and things.
Someone's going on Amazon right now.
Such a digression from podcasting, but just so fun to talk to you.
I know, it's fun to talk to you too. Should we tell everyone that we're the Create Podcast?
We should. We should tell them that we're not just two girls hanging out. I mean, we are those things, but yeah, we're here at the Create Podcast. Create stands for community reclaiming every artist's true expression, because we're all artists. We're all here to create. We're all here to be something that's never been and do things that have never been experienced in the vessel that is us and how we see the world and how we play and create art. And so kind of on that tip, we were getting into a conversation this week and you were just jamming with me about embodiment, and it just like really activated me. And I was like, well, let's do a podcast about it.
I like it when I can activate you.
Right? I know. And when we think about artists, like what the creative process is making something where nothing was there before. That there's a creative process, there's a flow, there's an idea, there's a spark that comes through the form that is your hands typing, or comes through someone's voice singing, or comes through an actor's body in the scene. And then all of a sudden something is created that wasn't there before. So it's taking something from this unmanifest, formless reality and actually putting it into a container, putting it into a body, and then something happens that was never there before. And that's actually the creative process itself. So interestingly enough, so many of us as creators find that the biggest block to our creativity is being too much in our head and not enough embodied.
In the body. Well, I've been thinking, I just want everyone to know what I did just now was I like rubbed my hand across the top of my chest and was like, in the body, like, I've been thinking a lot about the fact that many people in early stages of their life, when there was trauma, left their body because their body became uncomfortable. So when last week we talked a little bit about the Eve myth, and what got planted in a lot of us is what is deepest inside of me, that original sin, is bad or wrong. So when you think what is inside of you is bad or wrong, you don't trust yourself. You don't trust what your body is telling you. So when you come to this planet and your body starts giving you messages, but your environment is so intense and it actually feels painful to be in the body, a way of escaping oneself is to go up into the mind or go into the head to find a way to disembody, to leave yourself. And I think what happens, especially in Western culture, is a lot of us were raised in an environment where we were praised for being in our heads. So we got in our heads and then we could defend ourselves. We got in our head and then we could be smart and make safe decisions. Or I feel like when I was a kid, I got into my head, my imagination. I got into these like lofty places, and then that gave me creativity and imagination, but I was leaving my body. And I was leaving my body because it felt uncomfortable. I felt pain inside of my body. And some of those messages were, this doesn't feel right. I feel unsafe. Or when being punished for doing something that was an original impulse, then I get the message that I'm not trustable. So what I find in my reparenting of myself is I'm learning how to trust that my body gives me impulses and it gives me messages, which all are helpful. So instead of going up, can I go into my body? And can I listen with my body? And then anything that might be pain isn't something to push away. It's something to get curious about.
Mm, absolutely. Not something to disassociate from, because that's the original issue, but something to go deeper in intimacy to. This is really fascinating. So I actually developed this class about kind of like the psychology of being an actor and why sometimes the audition process can be really challenging psychologically for actors. And the reason is because the audition process is trying to take something that's natural and real, which is being a human being, connecting to another human being, feeling feelings, having a conversation. That's natural, but we're putting it in this artificial container with lights and a camera and like a casting director looking at you. And it's like, go, be a human being. And the whole process feels so artificial that sometimes psychologically, it just feels confusing. Like, how can I be real and natural in this completely artificial situation? How do I get in my body when even the circumstance around me isn't an embodied circumstance? So I was doing this research around it because I kind of wanted to get to the bottom of various things, you know, as I do. And I found this really interesting research that says that according to some psychologists, 50% of all human neuroses is caused by potty training. And you're like, Natalie, what does this have to do with anything? Let me stay with me. So what they explained is that the body of a child had a natural impulse. This is when I go. I don't control it. I don't stop it. I don't think about it. When I have to go, I go. When I don't have to go, I don't go. Like, I don't even think about it, right? And like, someone is there to actually serve my impulse, right? So I have the impulse to go in my diaper, and I do. And then someone comes and honors that impulse and cleans me up and goes, awesome, so proud of you, great. But then something happens where we start being potty trained. And this is also the time in the chakra system when our kind of will and our autonomy and our sense of self is developing, usually between 2 and 3, which is when many children are kind of in that process. And so what happens is someone says, no, you have to go now. Or no, this isn't the right time to go. And so all of a sudden, the message is, wait, the instinct of my body, the natural process of my body, wait, that's not as important as how you want me to perform for you.
Come on.
That's not as important as what your need for me to be is. Wait, whatever my body wants to do naturally has to be suppressed in order to be deemed a good, appropriate, loved person. And so it causes a kind of neuroses in us where we have to choose, Do I honor what feels natural and rhythmic and true to my body, or do I honor what it is to be in a society? And ultimately, we all don't really have the choice. But what gets programmed, and I don't know if this happened with anyone else, but I know in my case, there was this candy in Canada that I loved called Smarties. They're kind of like M&Ms, but they're just like slightly different. And whenever I would go to the potty, I would get candy. So it became like Pavlov's dogs. Like, I was even getting rewarded for abandoning my natural impulse, right? So it would almost be like, let me force myself in this way that isn't even what feels natural to me, but let me force myself over there. And then I tell you, hey, I did this for you. And then I get rewarded for it. And so you see how this patterning shows up so many ways, so many places in our lives. And so you can just kind of get to a 2-year-old brain how deep this imprint is and how big the impact of that imprint is. And so how I was relating it to being an actor or being an artist or being a writer or being a creator is it's kind of like someone says, go now. And you're like, I can't. Like just because it's 9 a.m. and it's the time of my audition doesn't mean my artist is activated and turned on and those impulses are alive. But maybe at 9:15 it will be, but the audition is over by then. So as an artist, even as a writer, you show up for your 15 minutes a day, and you sort of have to train yourself to show up whether you have to go or not. Like whether you're constipated, whether everything's flowing, you have to get into a rhythm where you're showing up all the time so that you're almost retraining your mechanism that it's safe to go when you want to go. And we have to retrain ourselves that it's not just about what we think we need to be for someone else. It's reintroducing and reintegrating ourselves with our own natural impulses.
Yes. And all throughout our childhood, it feels like we get rewarded for abandoning ourselves.
Yeah.
And then as adults, there's this moment where you go, wait, something doesn't feel good. Oh, my soul has gotten louder and louder, so much so that it demands that I don't abandon it. In fact, it's refusing to let me abandon it, which means now I have to dismantle what I built when I was abandoning and betraying myself so that I can actually get back to the real, which refuses to be ignored because it will only get louder over time.
And that's why rebellion is so healthy, mm-hmm. because rebellion is the first step towards not disassociating.
Yes. And it's so funny what you were talking about in terms of acting on a set, lights, camera, everything. So last week I was doing this practice every day where I would meditate in Central Park and I'd be like, today I want to focus on the embodiment of peace. What does peace feel like in my body, just as a way of playing, a way of creating. So, you know, with emotions are energy, I can go to a place in meditation where I can connect with the peace within me and then start to feel it in my cells. And then just kind of as a little practice throughout the day, I'd be like, oh, let me feel that again. Let me feel that in my hips. Let me feel that in my ankles. And every day I would pick a different word. Ooh, today I'm going to do receptivity. What does it feel like to be receptive? That was a very fun day. So I'm playing with these different words all day long. And then I go to shoot something for, I think it's Broadway On Demand. They asked me to come and shoot something. It was socially distanced filming. And I went and I had been playing with these like embodiment things. And I got there and there was like the lights and the sound and someone interviewing me. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow. Is it funny to watch all of the energy inside of me, all the different thoughts, all the different ways I want to perform. Then there's something in me that wants to be expressed and all this stuff. And I thought of you. I was like, Natalie's very good at being relaxed in these situations. And that is kind of like the mastery of being an actor is how do you find the relaxation within yourself, even around these changing dynamics? And I can feel that as a director sometimes when I'm on set and it's like, okay, we don't have a lot of time. You're shooting with a minor. There's a problem with the location. Oh, camera's down. Da, da, da. So how do I keep my peace as a director and stay focused on my vision, even around these changing dynamics? So it brings me to a really interesting conversation of, as we're playing here in form, as we're these spirits in this body, bringing things into form, this relationship between emotions and embodiment, and how coming back to the body throughout the day is a way of developing this deep friendship with self, a deep intimacy with self, and that as we were raised, if we were raised to constantly be in relationship with like the outer world and get our cues and our signals out there, how do we repair this relationship with self where we're really tuning into the cues from the body?
Yeah. And noticing what, as you get into your feelings, as you're embodying and really doing a deep dive into what it is, what's the story of this feeling? And what's the actual thing I'm feeling, right? Because all of us have also been fed the story that anger is bad and should be avoided. But I know for myself, when I'm really like in my pure anger, it feels really good. Like it feels good in my body. It doesn't feel like something that I should be ashamed of. Like when it's in its pure form of, I feel really passionate about something, or there's something I really want to say and I want to be heard. Like there's something that can get misaligned in how you express your anger or to whom you express it. But the feeling itself is really, really pure and actually feels really good to feel. Right? It's the suppression of it that actually feels bad. Or, you know, we have this idea, the story that sadness is something that's heavy. And sometimes sadness feels really liberating. Sometimes when you really check in with your sadness, it's moving something inside of you that the thing that it's moving may be heavy, but the sadness itself feels like the river that's taking it away. And so when we're really talking about getting embodied with what you feel, it's about doing it without any kind of judgment or any kind of preconceived idea of what that feeling is supposed to feel like or what you're supposed to look like while you're feeling it.
Yeah, letting the feeling itself be like a fun way of creating, fun way of painting. I love to think of life as like this epic canvas that we get to create on, and we're creating inside of ourselves and we're creating onto life. And these are all just different colors.
Yeah.
And thank God we don't just have to play with one color or like one emotion. We have this full spectrum.
Yeah.
And it provides variety and interest and arc.
Yeah. And also, you know, we as human beings, our emotions are giving us information about our soul, about our spirit, about what and who we really are. Because none of us are these bodies that we're walking around in, and none of us are our circumstances or the clothes we wear or even the people who raised us. Those are circumstances that are changing all the time that has nothing to do with the eternal, endless energy of what we are. And our emotions, that energy that's moving through us all the time, is actually pointing to, if we're really curious about it, it's actually giving us information about our true essence, about who we really are, what we actually are. And it's really interesting because we have this form, this human body, as a vessel by which we get to experience everything. And our feelings are the kind of compass that tells us what we're into, what we're not into, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And so they're not something to be ashamed of or to move away from. They're something to get more and more and more intimate with, because they're leading the way in terms of us having a human experience. Like without every single last piece of feeling, and in our, you know, polarizing dualistic universe, you'll notice if you get really attuned, part of the embodiment practice I've been doing lately is noticing every time I feel amazing, there's always the opposite equal thing going on. Every time I feel awful, there's always the equal opposite thing going on. Like at any given moment, I can feel like a total fraud. And at the exact same moment, someone can be reflecting to me, hey, you changed my life. And if you actually start getting attuned, then you can start to see that all of life is happening at all moments. And whatever I am choosing to feel is just a direct response to life. And I get to create what that response is by noticing that all the colors are here and I get to pick which one I'm investing in.
Oh man, it's so funny that you're talking about this. The other day I was working with someone and she was telling me how she had this unbelievable, overwhelming sadness that she didn't want to feel. She's like, it feels like too much and it feels like it's going to swallow me, but it's here. And I said, okay, well, can we talk to it? Can we have a conversation with it? And can we ask it what it wants? And so we just went through this dialogue where we started to ask the sadness questions. What do you want? Why are you here? Why do you feel so scary? How can I help you be more seen? Is there something that you want from me? Is there a way that I can honor you today? And we went through this process. And when we asked it gentle questions, we felt it open, and we also felt it shift. Mm-hmm. And I said, could we also talk to your joy? Can we talk to her for a little bit and see where she's at? And she's like, oh, I see her. She's hiding. And I was like, do you ask her if she wants to come over and maybe just chat with us, and we could ask her a few questions? She goes, okay. And so we went through this dialogue with her joy. What do you want us to know about you? What really makes you light up? Is there something we could do today to honor you? What's your favorite thing? So it was, and what we found and discovered in this dialogue is, yeah, sadness is here and joy is here. And she, and what she told me is, she's like, I hadn't talked to Joy in so long. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, and she's here. She's right here, right now. And and we can honor both of them. We can honor all of them. And they all have messages for us. And they all have directions that they can take us. And so I feel like part of embodiment is an honoring that all things are inside of us at all times. And as we go into the body, we realize that we're perfectly created for the processing of all these things.
And perfectly created for the consciousness that holds all those things at the exact same moment. And so as we know ourselves less as form and more as formless, we see ourselves, that our spirit is actually the container, not the body. That the spirit is the soul, is the container that can hold you being in this human body and this person being mad at you and this wonderful thing happening over here and this project that didn't go through and this one that's about to, that it's holding all of those things at the exact same time. And when we really lock into our creative power, it's when we step back and take the seat of consciousness to say, and none of this is here to hurt me. And there's nothing to be afraid of, and there's nothing to move away from. This is about enlivening my curiosity and my bird's eye view so that I can get that I'm just here to play. I'm here to experience it. I'm here to explore. And if something feels bad, let it feel all the way bad. And if something feels good, let it feel all the way good. And know that no matter how good it feels over here, there's something that also doesn't feel good over here. It was kind of like this ironic thing, because I have been talking with one of my coaches recently. I'm playing this duality game. And I've been just sending like the funniest little messages of like, walk down the streets of Paris, past the beautiful Seine with my baguette in hand. Man runs over my foot on his bicycle. And it was just so funny. As soon as I started training my vision to see, it all exists at the exact same time. But there's a complaining mind. There's a controlling mind. There's the going into the mind that wants to fix something. So it's always going to focus on the part of reality or the part of emotion that it thinks isn't good or isn't right or isn't what it should be. And so our only training is to say everything is exactly as it needs to be for my expansion, for this game that I decided to play. And I'm just going to keep on looking and keep on feeling without judgment or thinking that there's actually anything to do here.
Right. I was listening to this woman talk about Buddhism this morning, and she was saying, well, you think when you're going to study Buddhism that finally you'll get your life into line and you'll eat all the healthy foods and your relationship will get together. And she's like, no, you just start to notice things come together, things fall apart. Things come together, things fall apart, and nothing ever comes together all the way. And at one time, it's a bunch of different circles moving in all the directions, but you watch it. And I was also reading a little, Ram Dass this morning was talking about the Atman, the seat of the observer. And he's like, and from that seat, that watcher seat, all form is drama. All form is drama. Going to the bathroom is drama. Going on a date is drama. Going to work is drama. Brushing your teeth is drama. And you just watch the drama. You just watch it. When you watch it and you watch it and you keep leaning back into that little seat, the observer seat, and you realize you're a soul who came to play in form. And it was so fun. This kind of like realization as I was writing, I'm like, yeah, oh yeah. Just playing in form, just playing in the form. And so I wrote as like a little reminder and you know, just a possible tattoo to try out on my arm. I came to play. Right? And I came to play in all the different ways and in all the different colors. And in this play, I'm also realizing the ways I like to play. So part of the game and the play is to say, one, look how powerful I am in the ways that I play, and two, what kind of play do I enjoy most?
Yeah, and so many of us, when we go back to the potty training, or we go back to the self-abandoning, is that the resistance to play is the self-abandoning. The resistance to following my urge is self-abandoning. The resistance to asking myself what my desire is, that's self-abandoning. And so when we want to reclaim our embodiment and our, you know, if we think the opposite of self-abandoning is like really coming home to ourselves with ourselves, then it requires a deep curiosity because it's a thing we've never done. You know, it's a thing that we haven't done since we were 2 years old. And so it's going to be a mess when we start doing it. Right? It's not going to be through the clean, organized mind of an adult. It's going to be through the messy, loose, chubby body of a 2-year-old. And so it should feel silly and strange and weird and like it doesn't make sense to anyone else. And that's okay. And that's exactly how it's meant to feel.
Right. It's experimentation. That's what we're doing here. We're what it's like to be a human in a body who creates things and sees what we create and go, oh, okay. And we can start to just listen to our body, which is going to tell us what feels good and what feels like alignment and what feels like the truest expression of our soul.
It really reminded me the other day, because I'm here in Paris now, and I was walking by the Picasso Museum recently, and you and I had gone into it one trip when we were here. And I'll never forget you and I walking around the Picasso Museum, because we were kind of in disdain. We were kind of like
cranky.
And we were like looking at this art, and
we were so pissed.
There was a lot of like headless women. Like there was a lot of like patriarchy going on. What felt like to us, this may or may not be true, but this
is our interpretation that day.
This is where we were that day. We were just like so pissed off at Picasso. But I remember like really, cause he had, I mean, I want to say thousands of things that he had made. Like there was like sculptures and pictures and drawings and paintings. And there was like so many things. And most of them were really bad. And I'm not like saying this as anyone who's like discerning, like, you know, if anyone who like, you know, obviously Picasso was not really bad, but there was this feeling of like, for every one amazing thing he made 100 things that were really, really, really bad. Like that was the feeling of like, you'd stumble upon something that was like, wow, that feels really profound. And then the next 100 things would be like, oh, like 2-year-old Natalie could have made that and made it better. But it was a really bizarre thing of like, yeah. And maybe he was just doing it right. Like maybe he was just going, you know, I'm just going to make enough things where at some point something makes sense.
He was just playing.
And yeah. We're so worried in our human mind talking about getting embodied and not in the space of the mind. We're so worried about it being right. We're so worried about it being perfect. We're so worried about people liking us. We're so worried about what people will think of the expression, if it's going to be good, that we then don't create anything. And embodiment is like, I'm creating because I was born to create. And I don't have any opinion on if it's good or bad. And I don't care if you have an opinion about if it's good or bad. I'm just here embodied as creative potential. And so that's going to just keep coming out of my body in weird and wonky ways.
I was just talking to a writer the other day about the Martha Graham quote that it's our job to keep the channel open, but it's not our job to judge it. Mm-hmm. And she was writing something and she's like, I just kind of hate it. And I was like, I said, well, just to let you know, I read it and I see lots of profound things, but I understand that feeling. And I will share with you, there's a couple poems in my poetry book I think are really simplistic and kind of dumb. And I kind of am like, ugh, I hate that poem. Like, that's how I feel on the inside. And these three poems I've had different people point out to me as being like one of their favorites. And so I'm like, oh, I just can't judge myself. My job is to be the empty bamboo that it comes through. My job is to be the vessel, to be the channel, to let it come through and not to judge it. And that can be really challenging. But we also have to realize, like, our perception that wants to judge ourselves is clouded. Mm. And I do think we can pray to be able to see ourselves purely and to take away the judgment that we've inherited from the world so that we can just learn how to honor and value ourselves in all of its form. I've been deep on this thing recently of how our weaknesses are beautiful, how our wounds are, you know, the most sacred part of us. And when you hold them like that, then all of a sudden, you don't feel like you need to cover them up anymore. All of a sudden, you can talk about those places. You want them to be seen because you know that in your humanity is like the gift of it all. Yeah. We have plenty of time to be in formless all the way. But while we're here in form, let's get into the juicy stuff, right?
Let's get into trouble.
let's get it wrong.
You know, let's do all the, you know, let's do it wrong. Let's mess it up. Let's, you know, make a mistake and learn and grow.
Can we call this podcast Let's Do It Wrong?
Let's do it wrong. And who are we kidding? We're doing it wrong all the time anyway.
Exactly. Like,
is there ever a moment where any of us have ever gotten it right? Ever? It's kind of like, you know, when you're planning for like your perfect vacation.
Yes.
No matter how well you plan it, it never goes the way you plan. Planning
Ever.
For the perfect conversation, planning for your perfect wedding day. It does not matter how much effort or goodness you put into it. Life always has other plans.
Oh, and can we just surrender to those other plans?
And then we use our creative energy to stop planning and strategizing and organizing that which we can't control and just make stuff.
Yes, there's so much freedom in that. And when you give yourself permission to get it wrong, then you can paint with all the colors. Then you can listen to the inner impulses and just follow them. Then you start to get curious instead of controlling.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of getting curious, I actually think it was 2 weeks ago that we talked about, Rob gave me some download on Eve. He called me the other day and he's like, all right, you ready? And I'm like, what? He's like, part two. I'm like, oh, here I go. I'm being such a good little student.
I love a private Rob Bell sermon on a random day.
On a random day. It was literally like the bat phone. I was like, what? Oh, hold on. He said this to me and I did, the tears formed in my eyes and I started to cry. Mm. He said, all right, let's talk about the punishment. I'm like, huh? What? He's like, I didn't even know what we were talking about yet. Being banished. And he's like, and I'm like, yes. He's like, I don't want you to think of it as a curse. These are not problems to be fixed. They are only observations. I'm like, huh? In the myth, what happens when the things that we call the curses of leaving the Garden of Eden, he says, are just predictions of primal human struggle.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So when he says that man will have to, will be bent towards the soil, what is being predicted there is the masculine struggle. So not just the man, but the struggle of the masculine within us is to be tempted to be, to identify with what we do.
Mm.
And in our feminine struggle, the feminine that's with all, within all of us, it's the myth says there will be enmity between the woman and the man. So that is, we will be tempted to identify with who we are with. The masculine in us wants to identify with what we do, and the feminine in us with who we're with. And yeah, right? So Adam and Eve are here to teach us that, like, if we want to be in the Garden of Eden, if we want to be in the heaven that is always available to us, that we give up our identification with what we do or with who we're with, and we find our true identification in who I am, which is always available, which is always right here, right now.
Wow.
So that is that thing that we like to call the curse is just a prediction of where our temptations will be in our masculine and feminine energy.
And so therefore the curse is actually the opportunity for self-reclamation, for self-knowledge, right? It's not the knowledge of good and evil. It's the knowledge of self, the knowledge of the I am, the knowledge of the presence of creative force energy flowing through you at any given moment. And we stifle it every time we disembody from ourselves because it's more important what we do, or it's more important who we're with, or it's more important that we're making someone happy. It's more important that we're going, quote unquote, when someone wants us to. And so when we are willing to release the shackles of all of that self-abandonment, we get back into the embodiment of what is true, which is just that we are this divine creative energy that came here to play and to create and to make things and to do things and to have fun and to have experiences and then to let them go and make new ones and let them go and make new ones. And the entire process is unfolding so that we can know ourselves as the being that came to be.
That's right.
How fun.
Permission.
Oh man, we get so wrapped up in all the identities.
Isn't it cute?
I'm really wrapped up in the identity of how big my butt got since I've been in Paris.
I'm so proud of you. There's nothing better in the whole world than a big butt.
Oh, it's like a real, it's a real feat, you know. Took a lot of chocolate croissants to get here.
I've never been so proud of you.
Man.
Very important, especially since you're about to go on your honeymoon.
True. The bigger, the better.
Oh, I say that to myself all the time about lots of things.
Lots of things. But again, like talk about that, you know, I say it in jest, but also, you know, the identification of deprivation as holy and as pleasure as something bad. You know, these are all identities that we get to dismantle as we get embodied.
That's right. Oh, and the body is a beautiful thing. It is yummy and sexy and juicy and gorge. And we were not taught how to love our bodies.
Yeah.
And we have our whole lifetime to get to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And it's okay if we get it wrong. Because we can just keep playing and experimenting and learning how to love who we truly are.
Man, nothing feels like a more fun and creative process than that.
Well, on that note, I hope you have
for listening.
Yes. Oh, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Man, there's so many things. Well, if you guys have gone over to our Create Facebook page, early August, I did a 7-day free class called The 7 Days of Sacred Shadow. And it was a real deep dive into some interesting integration and shadow work. And starting in October, I'm going to do an 8-week version of that class. So if anyone is down for playing, doing some shadow work, some duality, some deep diving, then please feel free to email me, natalielinroy@gmail.com, and I will fill you in on more info.
That is sexy. Speaking of sexy, I'm doing a healing the wounds of the second chakra class.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So it's going into our creative and sexual wounds, the ones that we inherited early in our development, and going back in and creating a space of love and witnessing. And you can find all about that. Either you can hit me up on our Create website, or you can go to my Instagram at HengiLove, and there's a link in my bio. You can also, I also have a small writing class that starts in September. So if you want to get in on my small writing class, it's hands-on, lots of love, lots of development. And oh, we go so deep. We go deep, 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 deep into the process and how what we write is our soul communicating to us and through us.
Mm, so good. What a perfect time for it. Perfect time.
You can also email, I have so many ways to contact me, KristenHengiClasses@gmail.com.
That's so good. I do also have another acting class coming up in September. If any actors out there want to get into the deep psychology of how to go and flow when time is time, and how to reclaim that energy that was lost. Because acting isn't just technical, it's deeply spiritual. So we want to connect the dots on all those things. So if anyone's interested in that, shoot me an email as well.
Woo!
Oh, all the things.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?